What's up, guys? This is Jermaine Marbury, and that's right, Benny the Basketball, and you're listening to the WrestleVille Podcast with Vinny Bear. I'm your host, Vinny Berry. This is the WrestleVille Podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network, where you can find this episode and all our other episodes where you download your favorite podcast or at WrestleVille.com. This episode brings in Jermaine Marbury, professional wrestler from New York. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, man, thank you very much for coming on the show. You caught my eye. You have a very fun gimmick, I think, in wrestling. You are a basketball player, and talk to me a little bit about how the idea came about. Do you play basketball? I mean, really, tell me, man. Tell me the origin of your character and how it came about and how you got here.
So the basketball gimmick definitely came over time. Obviously, I used to play basketball when I was younger, and I'm deeply in love with the New York Knicks. I'm a big Knicks fan. I have the game on somewhere in my room, keeping up with the score. It's playing the Sixers right now, fourth quarter. But yeah, when I got into wrestling, I kind of had the mindset of like, oh, I want to do a basketball gimmick. Like other guys have definitely done it. I feel like I would get too many comparisons to like an MVP or like the half dozen guys in the independent scene wearing basketball shorts or whatever. But, you know, over time, it kind of like developed through my gear where when I first started wrestling, I was wearing like hand-me-downs. Well, I'm like, then it came to the point where I was like, well, I need to put my name on it. So I got these custom basketball shorts. And so then came my theme song. And then after that, eventually I got a mascot and the balls kept rolling and rolling and hearing it. So.
Yeah, so, you know, the idea is growing as you're progressing, right?
Yeah.
And you're young in the business.
Mm-hmm.
But you are gaining popularity, right?
I would say so, yeah.
And in the fans, you know, the matches that I've seen you in, the crowds are pretty good, and the fans seem to like you. So that's definitely good for you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be exciting too, right?
Yeah, it's crazy because like around this time last year, I was having like a hard time getting booked. Because I'm wrestling maybe like once or twice a month, but like now like I'm wrestling every weekend. This weekend I got three shows coming up. Next weekend I got three or four shows coming up. So like I'm constantly busy. I'm constantly getting out there doing this whole like New England loop of like New York or Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. I'm going up to Maine next Saturday. So
yeah, that's exciting. So you're up in New York, but there's up there in the New England region of the United States, there's a ton of promotions up there, right?
And yeah.
So you know, are you making your rounds up there or do you have, you know, two or three places that you frequent promotions?
Well, most often at Wrestling Open. I think Wrestling Open over on IWTV Massachusetts kind of put me on the map. So a lot of my bookings are out in Massachusetts or in Rhode Island or Connecticut, because like that's kind of like where I kind of like made my name for myself, so to say. And so that's kind of where I get the most amount of business.
Mm-hmm. And you live in New York?
Yeah.
New York City?
Near Harlem.
Okay. What's that like for someone that only spent like, you know, a couple of hours near New York?
It's definitely an interesting environment, for sure. The people are interesting. Traveling can be a little bit of a pain, but, you know, I wouldn't change a couple of those.
Yeah, I'm sure you do a lot of public transportation, right? You do a lot of walking.
Yep, and the metro, the train. Can't go wrong with the train.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it would definitely be fun, I think. I live in Texas. I think it would be interesting to just go there for a week and just kind of immerse myself in the culture.
You know? Yeah.
I think it'd be a great experience.
What part of Texas are you from?
I am in South Texas, so I am like McAllen, where the border is.
Oh, okay. Like near. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I'm so dependent on where I'm at. down here, I could be 5 to 10 miles from the border of Mexico.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm totally different environment from what me and you, there's a big contrast from where you live and I live.
Yeah.
So you trained at Paradise Alley
mm-hmm.
with Mario Mancini and Paul Roma.
Yep.
You know, I have a lot of respect for those guys. I like Mario Mancini. I've had him as a guest and I've talked to him. I don't think you can go wrong with those two guys. I mean, I think if you're wanting to be a wrestler, I think you're going to get everything you need from Paul and Mario. Wait, you agree?
Yeah, and now how could you not? I mean, those are guys that like share a locker room and a ring with like some of the biggest names in the business, from like the Hulk Hogan's to the Mr. Perfect's to the Fuji's to the Bret Hart's. You know what I mean? Like Paul Roma, as controversial as it was, he was a four horseman. Like he was teaming with Ric Flair. So like, who better to learn from in our area than Paul Roma?
Yeah. What do you think sets their school apart? I mean, this might be a hard question. You know, being at from one school, right?
Yeah.
But what do you think it is that they do, or what do you think it is the main thing that they instill in you that when you walk away or years down the road, you think back of your training, you're going to think of this. This is the thing they said, hey, you got to know this. You got to do this. What was that thing?
I think that biggest thing for me would be like psychology. Like for everything in wrestling, that should be like a rhyme and reason. Like, why are you doing this? You know what I mean? And so I think that's what a lot of wrestling schools are missing is the why. Like, why are you doing this here? Why are you saying this then? You know what I mean? And so I think Paul Roma, Mario Mancini, not only know the why in wrestling, but they know where to put it. And you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of have, they know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. When you talk to these old school guys, and I've had my time of talking to them, I think they see wrestling a little different. And I think, you know, for today's wrestling, a lot of these old school guys, they have a lot of questions about, you know, well, why are you doing that? You know, and
yeah,
even in my field, you know, people have said, well, you got to understand why you do it. You got to know why you're doing it.
Exactly.
Right. But I'm in a creative field. Right. So it's like, well, it's art, man. It looks, yeah. I like it, you know, so that I might have a little more of a license, but in wrestling where there's storytelling, right. There's psychology.
Yep.
And a lot of that's lost, you know, from when I was watching wrestling, when I got addicted to it, I'd say about early 80s,
mm-hmm.
It's storytelling, man. That was all it was. Cowboy versus an Indian, you know.
Yeah.
Warriors, like World Warriors came out. Dude, those guys were scary. You know? Who are these guys, you know?
Hey, all you got dumb wrestling fans up there, listen, old Black Bart has got a book. It's called Wrestle. I like that. It's got some dead dumb good stories in there about some dead dumb good wrestlers.
Read stories of Dusty Rhodes, the Von Erichs, Scott Casey, Sergeant Slaughter, Roddy Piper, Mr. Fuji, Ron Bass, Bruiser Brody, Mike Davis, the Grappler, and many others.
And I guarantee you one thing, that it'll be the best dead gum read you've had in a long, long time.
Get your book today at WrestleVille.com or on Amazon. WrestleVille, it's where wrestling lives.
What was it for you that you said, hey man, I gotta do this?
Well, obviously, as a kid, I was a big wrestling fan. I remember watching like Rey Mysterio and like Jeff Hardy and like Rob Van Dam back in like the late 2000s. And so like that's what kind of like got me into it. But the way I decided to make it a profession was actually through school. I remember in high school, I must have been I think I was a sophomore. I was about 15, turning 16 years old. And we had to do a project where we talked about what our career was going to be after high school, how we're going to get there, all the steps you had to take, what schools you had to go to, like the entire route. And you had to present this project in front of the entire class. And I just didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to work in like an office. I don't want to have a boring job with a boss I didn't like. And so after brainstorming for about a few minutes, I was like, well, why don't I just be a wrestler? I love wrestling. It made sense to me at the time. So,
and here you are. It would have been, you know, your family, is your family supportive, or what was their first thoughts of, you know, because I mean, it's not the, you know, first pick I would think for most parents, kids.
Yeah, my family was very much like, okay, like that's a cool idea, but we'd rather you just go to college and get a degree and just get a normal job. But like when they realized like the amount of time, the effort, like the passion I had for wrestling, well, once I had a wrestling shows, like they kind of like let all that go. They're very supportive now, but it was a hard pitch at first, but now they come to a lot of my shows. So.
Yeah, no, I think it would be a hard pitch. You know. For any kid to a parent, right?
Yeah.
You're all in with wrestling. However, Do you have a backup plan? Have you thought ahead like, hey, you know, work on some classes, get some school under my belt, I'm gonna pursue this, or are we all in, man? Do we take the stack of chips and just push them into the middle of the table? Or are you planning, you know, to have something to fall back on just in case?
So originally when I was in high school, my plan was I would go all in until I was about like 26, 27. And if like I felt like I wasn't making any like serious progress until making a living for myself, like through wrestling, then I'll just join the military. So, but I do have a normal 9-to-5 job. I work Monday through Friday as well. So I'm just saving as much money as possible. So. Is either the military or go to college, but we'll figure it out. I mean, I got a few years. I'm only 21, so.
Oh yeah, no, you're a young man. That's yeah. Awesome. Hey man, really is a good time in your life, you know.
Yeah.
Early 20s, but you don't know that when you're in it.
Yeah.
But you surpass it, and then you look back and it's like, man, I hit the tiger by the tail and I didn't even know it.
Yep.
So you are hitting some New England states up there, but would you like to branch out? Would you like to go to? Would you like to wrestle in Texas, say Florida? Would you like to, you know, expand your traveling map, your traveling tour? Or, I mean, have you thought about that yet?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. Like, I mean, obviously I want to hit like every state as possible, as many states as possible, but I get to all 50. I have family out in Alabama that I go to visit every year. I love to wrestle them out in Birmingham. Texas, I've been to Texas a few times. There's a promotion called Metroplex Wrestling outside of Dallas that I went. I visited a few times. So I'd love to go back and wrestle there. There's some promotions out in like Washington, like Defy Wrestling. I'd love to go to California, like PWG. So, I mean, any place that wants to book me, I'm available still.
Right. Well, good, man. That's good. Because I think traveling is important. I think it's, you know, for what I've seen, I think it's important to, you know, hone your craft in the area where you're at, right? Then you've got to branch out. You know, you got to kind of like show people in different places who you are, right?
Yeah.
I get excited when I have some wrestling friends that, okay, I know a lady wrestler from Cincinnati. And she's been wrestling in Cincinnati for years. But I'd been following her looking more at her schedule this past year. And I'm noticing that she's gone to Delaware, and she's gone to Michigan, and she's gone to Texas, and she's gone to Indiana. And I talked to her and I said, hey, you are really branching out. And she says, you know what? Yeah, I really feel like I'm making tracks. And she's been doing it for a while. You know, What if people told you about, say, your expectations? Like, hey, man, not everybody makes it. Only 1% makes it to the big stage. I'm sure you heard stuff like that, right? you know?
I mean, I'm sure everybody has. For me, like, where I am right now, it's, like, a lot of people, like, give me a lot of praise. So, like, for me, like, my biggest thing is trying to, like, not to leave my own hype. Because, like, I'm still, like, even though I'm tall, like, I'm a small guy. Like, I know, like, I need to gain some weight. And I watch my master's back all the time. There's so many things that I need to work on.
But,
as far as expectations go, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the future holds for me, but I think I got some cool stuff coming my way. So
good, man. Yeah, that's good. Like I said, I've watched some of your matches. I find them very entertaining. You get over with the crowd. I like how you interact. Talk to me a little bit about Benny the Basketball.
Yeah, so Benny's my best friend. We've been friends since middle school. He was the kid that got picked on in school because he was round and kind of obese. And, you know, I kind of stuck up for him. And now he sticks up for me. But in my corner, my sidekick, my everything. So.
How did you guys come up with the idea that, you know, hey, man, dress as a basketball? How did you guys sitting around one night and you're telling the ideas?
This is the first time story. I've never told the story before. But when I first started, like, doing the basketball thing, coming out with the shorts and the music and whatnot, I used to get a lot of, like, flack because I wouldn't have an actual basketball with me. And mainly because, like, I don't want to be, like, a comedy act, you know what I mean? Like, a novelty act, a dude who comes out and he's chain wrestling and he's doing all these, like, Harlem Globetrotter stuff. So I was talking to one of my buddies and I was like, you know, what if I just draw someone out just as a basketball, like, just to be funny? And he thought it was the greatest idea ever. And then I looked online, I was scrolling through basketball mascots. I found one that was pretty affordable. And so I bought it and then I put one of the students at my PPW in it. See how it would look, and everyone's dying laughing. So I was like, okay, like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's cool. And I didn't, at first I was like, whoa, is that his manager? But, you know, it's neat because you can see a character like that at a basketball game.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And that's why I think I like it. I like fun, you know. I'm the kind of guy, when I go to a wrestling match, I love watching the show and busting out laughing.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good. And that's one of the things that I think it's because I don't expect to see it at wrestling, but when I do see it, I'm glad that I do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Yeah.
And then people, you know, ask me all the time, like, man, why do you like wrestling? Why do you? I'm sure people have asked you that, right? That's the stuff. That is why I like wrestling. You know, getting that laugh to, you know, just kind of catch me off guard and just make me feel good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with wrestling, like, there's always something for, like, somebody, you know what I mean? So, like, you don't have to be a wrestling fan, but, like, there's wrestling that has, like, storytelling. There's wrestling that has comedy. There's wrestling. We like lucha wrestling, you see like all the high spots and whatnot. So like whatever you want to see is what you get. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of something everywhere. So.
How do you think, and this is, you know, maybe you've never even thought about this. I mean, because you're early on in your career, but, you know, has anyone ever talked to you about how to evolve in wrestling? You know, like, hey, you know, over time, you're going to have to evolve. We saw that with, say, The Undertaker. We see it with Chris Jericho. You know, this evolution of a character for long-term sustainability. Where does Jermaine Marbury go? Does he get traded to the Mavericks or something?
I definitely have a few ideas for things I want to do in the future, but I just can't discuss it. I can't give it away.
Right. So, no, I get it. I get it. But yeah. But you are thinking that way. You are thinking about.
Yeah, because I mean, I think right now where I'm at, like what I'm doing works and I'm hitting a lot of like the big like spots in our area. But once I, you know, I'm at the same promotions over and over and over, eventually I feel like there's only so much I could do. So I definitely feel like I'm going to have to add more or tweak a few things. But just have to tune in and see what happens.
What is it that you like so much about pro wrestling, Jermaine?
Oh my lord, I couldn't even. I know where to like start. I think the best thing about pro wrestling for me at least is like it's an open space. Like no matter who you are, what you represent, I feel like wrestling is just like a safe space for everybody to like come together and like enjoy just this one thing. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what your race or your gender or your sexual preferences. Like no matter what you enjoy in life, like what your political views are or religious views are, you know, wrestling is always going to be there for everybody to enjoy. So.
You know, you mentioned to some wrestlers earlier, like Rey Mysterio. What are some of, you know, the guys that you feel that influenced you in such a way where you're like, you know, I don't exactly want to be like him, but I want to be as good as him, or maybe, you know, something like that. I mean, is there, you follow me?
I said when I first started training, a lot of the guys like I was watching a lot were like the Wheel Rushes. Cody Rhodes, Ray Phoenix was another one. Like now that like I'm kind of in the game a little bit, I'm making my rounds. I tried to keep like a lot of myself like original and do my own thing, but I still tune it seems to them.
So you mentioned Lio Rush.
Yep.
Have you seen Lio Rush here recently?
Oh, I seen clips of him online, yeah.
The Blackheart?
Yeah. He's really going into that.
Okay. What do you think, man?
I think it's getting people talking. I mean, I don't understand it, but also I haven't done too much research about it. I think on the service level, it's different. He's definitely embracing it, and the fans love it, so.
Yeah, a little darker than I like my wrestling characters, right? Little creepy. However, you can't take your eyes off it.
Exactly.
And I saw him on IWTV about a week ago, and I didn't know what to expect, and I was taken back. I walked away thinking, wow, this dude's on to something. Yeah, that's, you know, I was like, wow, this dude's on to something. Didn't quite understand the red door. He goes in the back, he brings back a red door, but it looks very symbolic, right?
Yeah.
And of course, it's red, you know, and then he ended up drinking his, whatever that was,
motor oil.
He drank it, and of course, pretty much cast a spell on. It was very interesting. Like I said, a little different than, you know, I like, you were talking about comedy and the chain wrestling. I could go for the pizza guy. Over a character as dark as that, right?
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, when The Fiend first came out, like, that was, like, a big topic like, of discussion. Like, I was a big fan of The Fiend. So, like, I don't know, like, if he was, like, filming, like, vignettes or promos and, like, how he's really, like, presenting this, like, new Black Card gimmick. I think he's done this, like, in the past. But, like, now, like, as you mentioned, he's drinking whatever he's drinking and he has the door and new props going on. So, it's definitely going to be interesting to see if he does that.
Yeah, and let me tell you something, man. He had the crowd, you know, paying attention. I mean, all eyes were on that show, you know. So, kudos to him for doing that. Where do you see Jermaine Marbury, say, 2 to 3 years?
2 to 3 years? I'm hoping to get on bigger platforms, whether that's like an MLW or an NWA, it's more of an open national platform would be cool. I don't see myself getting signed to like an AEW WWE within the next like 2 or 3 years, but I think a bigger platform is ideal for me. So.
Good. All right, man. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you and getting to know you. How can fans find you on social media? And if they want to see any of your matches, where can you direct them?
Well, when it comes to social media, you can find me at Jermaine Marbury 4.3 on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook at Jermaine Marbury, Twitter at Jermaine Marbury as well, and then TikTok at Jermaine Marbury 3. And if you want to watch me, you can watch me on IWTV. I have lots of matches from Wrestling Open and Live Pro Wrestling, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I think I'm forgetting one. But Just look at my name, IWCB. You can find me on there. And SYMS is on YouTube as well, so it's YouTube.
All right, man. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been a pleasure having you on. I'm excited about your career because you're fun to watch, man. And I, like I said, and while we were talking, that's the one thing that, you know, when I go to wrestling, I want to have fun, and I would forget about, you know, that bill that I forgot about that's late and the jerk at work, you know?
Exactly.
And that's what you do for me. So thank you very much for everything you do for pro wrestling. I wish you all the best, man, and you're welcome back anytime.
All right. Thank you, Vinny. I appreciate it.
All right. You're welcome. You're listening to the Wrestleville Podcast, where wrestling lives.
Yeah, it's your boy Dirty Cam, and that's Cam with a K.
And I'm AR2.
And we are the Russell Twins. And you're listening to the Wrestleville Podcast.
The Wrestleville Podcast is brought to you by no other, your host, Vinny Barry, the GOAT, you already know. And he brings you some of the greatest professional wrestlers around the globe, giving you the full exclusive details on their personal and professional lives. But wait, there's more. Do you like books?
I like books, Cameron. You like books?
Of course. Well, man, look, the Russell Twins just declared that you are in luck. All you have to do is visit WrestleVille.com.